And we're live, everyone, for a new episode of the Electric Podcast. I'm Fred Lambert, your host, and I'm joined by Seth Winchow. How are you doing this week, Seth?
I'm good.
All right, let's dive in right away this week. We'll start out with something we discussed briefly in the last episode, like the potential for Tesla's battery day being delayed, and Elon Musk mentioned it this week. Basically, not confirming that it's, basically confirming that it's a delay, but not giving us a clear updated timeline. He said that it's most likely postponed to mid-May. So we speculated that if it was going through, it would be an online thing situation, like just an online unveiling. But I'm seeing that a lot of other automakers that were supposed to announced something in the last month. We're talking about GM that postponed things, Lucid postponed things, and a bunch of other automakers postponed electric vehicle unveilings in the last month. And they none of them are opting for the online thing for that. I don't know why, to be honest.
I mean, it seems weird to just hold off on a release of a vehicle for the announcement to be live. And most people find out about the event online, so it doesn't seem like it would be a horrible thing to just do an online live event. You know, Apple and Google do them all the time.
Yeah, and we, as reporters ourselves, we love going to those things to a degree. Like, it's fun on the personal level, like you get to interact with the car and everything. But I rarely find, unless we have a test drive experience at those events, that we can actually report on a direct experience with the car, I rarely find it to be useful for my reporting. It's like, on the contrary, unless they give us like embargoed information before where we can prepare our reporting, most of the time our reporting is just rushed because we are there, like we have our laptop on our knees, or even sometimes, like, if I remember the Model Y unveiling, I was standing up with my laptop in one end and just tapping with the other end to release my article during the launch. It's never an ideal situation. So
yeah, it's always stressful. It's not optimum. And you know, with the other sites, you know, Apple events, sometimes we get invited, sometimes we don't. Sometimes, like, I have to say, to be honest with you, when we don't get invited, I'm like, whew, thank God.
Yeah.
So, it would be nice if they just had an online event. I think it would be easier for everybody.
And for this battery day, I mean, unless there's a surprise and you wanted to show something and it was like more of a bigger event, but if the only thing we know that's going to be announced at the event, it's the result of the Roadrunner project that we reported on a few months ago, which is the new Tesla developed battery cells and manufactured by Tesla. So the bulk of the event, we think, is announcing their plan to build their own battery cell on a large scale. So these are more like announcement. I don't think Tesla is going to it's not going to break ground on a factory or something at the event itself.
Yeah. So, there's not going to be like a test drive of something that's, you know, a million mile battery or whatever isn't going to test drive any different than a.
Well, the only thing that we did hear that could go on something like that is that we did hear from this engineer that Elon was pushing to get Model S ready, or potentially a Model X, but I think they were more aiming for a Model S ready with a battery pack using those new cells. But
so do you think it would be the Plaid one?
They didn't mention necessarily that it's going to be the Plaid one, but it's definitely going to be the pack that's going to be used in the Plaid one, though. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, but my understanding, it was more of like, this is not just a plan, this is real. Those cells are real. We have a pilot plant in Fremont currently making them, and this is a battery pack with those cells in a car that car runs. So right. If that was the plan, there's some a showmanship quality to having that car there, seeing it run, even if like the biggest advantage on that would be like, of course, faster charge rate, probably higher energy density, so longer range, probably a higher life cycle of the battery pack. Those are three things that are hard to demonstrate in the presentation. Like, it's not like, let's charge the car here, or let's show, like, let's have it run in a circle for 400 miles, or let's see if it handles like 5,000 cycles or something. So I think it's a presentation that probably Musk could have done, like just as on a webcam and explaining like we do right now, basically with a PowerPoint or something, and a lot of people would have appreciated it. But maybe there's something bigger that we don't know about, and that it might explain where it's pushed to maybe mid-May.
So mid-May, we're kind of knocking up against the Plaid Model S, right? Wasn't that supposed to come out in the middle of the year?
Yeah, I said summer, I think. The quickest thing is summer. So yeah, it's getting close. Maybe at that point they should combine those two unveiling. That could be interesting, yeah.
Yeah, that would be cool.
All right. On the coronavirus front, Tesla, like many other companies, announced some pay cuts and some furloughs. Due to the current crisis affecting them and affecting sales, affecting production, affecting everything, really. So we obtained an email this week from Tesla's head of HR, Valerie Kappers-Wortmann. And she announced a series of measures that Tesla is taking due to the current crisis. It includes pay cuts for every salaried employee that can work from home and have been considered, or have been considered essential, either or. For the vice president level, it's 30%. For director's level, it's 20%. And for everybody else, it's 10%. Those are for U.S. employees somewhere else. She said it would be comparable reduction, she said. For employees that cannot work from home and haven't been assigned a critical work on-site, or furloughed, so those are going to be more affected because they won't get a salary at all, though they will get technically worker compensation and employment. And also we learned, of course, a week prior to that Tesla did fire some of the contractors, but I mean, they didn't fire really contractors. They ended the contract with temporary workers, really. Those are mainly people that work at Fremont Factory. In the email, one interesting thing that she said was that Tesla is aiming to get back to production on May 4th, regular production, she said. This is presumably due to the current shelter-in-place order in the county where Fremont Factory is located ending. However, it's not clear because they do say May 4th, but I mean, the county made it clear that they might push that shelter in place ending date. And also Tesla also relies on Fremont Factory and a bunch of other suppliers that may be affected in different ways and may not open production past May 4th. So let's put a whole grain of salt on that May 4th date, though it would be great if Tesla can reopen just basically like what, 5-6 weeks after closing down. That's not too bad.
Yeah, it's a little over a month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Month or a month and a half.
Yeah, but all right, we're gonna send positive thoughts to all the people affected by those salary cuts and furloughs and whatever. Not easy for anyone.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Oh, speaking of Plaid powertrain, Elon did mention a Plaid Cybertruck this week. So we kind of knew that would be the case. There would be a Plaid Cybertruck option, because Tesla announced a tri-motor powertrain for the Cybertruck for the highest version. But he did add now that there's something more to what Plaid is than the tri-motor system. So it was the first time that someone at Tesla referred to a Cybertruck as Plaid. And Musk confirmed that there's more to it than just the tri-motor. And that makes sense to me too, because Tesla always normally has like a highest performance version that is performance, and then they have like same powertrain or something, but without like some performance spec, much like the performance Model 3 that has the Stealth Model 3, and the performance, like maybe like the only difference, though it's less clear these days, in the Model S and X, like there was a bigger rear motor for the performance version versus just the dual motor version, though that's less clear these days.
All right, quick question.
Mm-hmm.
If you had the choice between a Founder Series Roadster and a Plaid Cybertruck, which one would you take?
Well, of course, I steal the Roadster, and then I buy a Porsche. I buy a Cybertruck and pocket the $100-something thousand
difference. But if you were only given, and no, you had to.
Yeah, of course. I understand your question. I mean, the Cybertruck is obviously a lot more useful to me than the Roadster. The Roadster is just fun to drive, and honestly, don't have that much chance to just have fun to drive. While the Cybertruck, I can see myself like just going on a road trip with it, like going camping or something, or like putting some e-bikes in the back and going up the mountain and just having fun, like things like that. So, though there's a lot of fun to have with a Roadster too, but it's not legal fun necessarily.
Right. Yeah, I was just thinking like, that might be a better vehicle than the Roadster, the Founder Series Roadster that big referrals are going to be getting.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. But coming back to the Plaid Cybertruck, I mean, what we know that Tesla has been referring to as Plaid before, they did say that they were, that's the thing too. At first, I remember Elon saying that they would reserve the Plaid for the Roadster at one point. Remember that?
Yeah, I do. It's also now the Model S too, right? The one.
Yeah. And it's also not just the tri-motor thing. So like that was back when Tesla was like focusing on the performance mode. Like there was the insane mode, then there was ludicrous mode, and then of course keeping with the Spaceball reference, like you go with the Plaid. That's the only thing that's faster. And then he said, "We're gonna reserve that for the Roadster." Now they say that they do bring it to the Model S. Understandable. Model S sales have been down, way down, especially last quarter. Model S sales were way, way, way down. So
and that's 100% getting eaten by the Model 3.
Oh, yeah, that's having an impact.
And soon to be the Model Y.
Yeah.
To the Model
and S. Yeah, and it needs a refresh. I mean, it hasn't been refreshed for a while. It has gotten like longer range incrementally, higher performance incrementally, but it still looks the same as it does on the exterior since 2016 and inside since forever. So a relatively significant refresh would be great. We knew that they were planning one last year, not even last year. Was it that? Yeah, last year. Well, 2 years ago, they were planning one for last year. That's what I meant. But then that was in 2018 to 2019. And in 2018, when they were working on it, they were still having issues ramping up Model 3 production. And then they completely changed their focus to Model Y because they saw that when they do figure production on Model 3, they see the kind of volume they can make. And Model Y was clearly the path to growth here, not just refresh Model S. But so it doesn't mean that the Model S is dead. Like obviously they're still working on it now that they have the Plaid. But the Plaid that we saw on the Model S on the prototype, it wasn't just a bigger, a better powertrain. It was also a massive spoiler, fenders changes, the whole body, wider body. There was a different diffuser. It was different front bumper. Like it was a ton, like bigger air intakes. There was a ton of different modification on it. So the Plaid version of the Cybertruck might also be like a more performant version. What I'm thinking is like what the Raptor is to the F-150, maybe.
Right.
Like more.
Or maybe like drop down a little bit too.
Yeah.
Air suspension or something. I don't know.
Well, it does have air suspension already. Right. But
like a big, you know, down to like a lowrider type of situation.
So that brings us to something that Elon said this weekend, that this is going to simplify the Plaid tri-motor powertrain. Well, not upgrade. Let's call it an upgrade, not a powertrain, because what we just said. He's saying it was getting too complex. We're going to simplify plot a little, so not too much. It was getting too complex. He didn't elaborate on that. But my understanding right now, Plaid is going to be introduced with a new battery pack too. Most likely the new battery pack that we talked about with new cells from Roadrunner it's going to feature something like, well, at least as an option, something like the track package for the Model 3, but for the Model S. It was strange. It always been strange that the Model S being the highest performance version of the highest performance Tesla out there, and then it's the Model 3 that gets the track mode. Of course, that's because there's a hardware issue to that. Like there's something that Tesla developed just for the Model 3 that is third party for the Model S, and they cannot use to deliver track mode for that. And then there's the track package that was delivered, of course, last month. To the Model 3 performance and not the Model. Of course, at the same time, I feel like the Model 3's performance is a better track car than the Model S. It's just 1,000-pound lighter. that makes a big difference. Yeah. So I get it from that front, but Model S is still faster. So yeah, I feel like the Plaid's going to be new battery pack, tri-motor powertrain, and maybe optional or not. Track package, so different wheels, stickier tires, maybe some body modification. That might be what Elon is talking about simplifying here, because it was pretty fucking extreme on the prototype. That spoiler. Do we have a picture of it? I thought I posted
the
picture.
You got the one charging, but you can only see the.
Well, yeah, this one here is not. That crazy. It was a crazier one. You can see a little here, but I thought I had another one. There was one that was much crazier than this, but this is a pretty big spoiler. You can see the difference, the wider body here on each side. The front end.
Yeah, there's more air intake in the front end.
Yeah.
And then the back had that big diffuser, right?
Do you think that would just, I mean, different ground clearance too? Do you think that would just be for the Plaid performance version of Model S, or maybe like it could be part of a wider Model S refresh?
Either.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you don't need the air intake unless you're doing crazy stuff.
Yeah. That's why I hesitated a little bit. But yeah, I think the interior refresh is still the plan, and I'm just not sure it's going to be combined with that Plaid. The Tesla hasn't been worried at all about just gradually releasing updates in his car program. So they might just, let's get a boost of cell from Plaid and then a boost of cell from a refresh interior. But if they do that, they upset a lot of people that ended up buying Plaid and not getting the refresh. So we'll see. Another Cybertruck update, a ladder rack. So we've seen a lot of renders. Tesla released a bunch of different renders of like optional stuff that you can do with the Cybertruck. Most interesting one we saw was like the camper one. You have like a camper, like a tent that pops out of the back.
Yeah.
But one that we missed, apparently, like Tesla didn't release the renders for this one, but someone spotted it as part of the presentation, is this one here. And it's a ladder rack, or like a tool rack, some people call it. Most people call it a ladder rack, but it also can be just a tool rack. You see a lot of like gardeners having that on their pickups and things like that. We weren't like for sure normal third party ladder rack, like a tool rack like this, wouldn't work for the Tesla Cybertruck due to the crazy form of the bed to be more aerodynamic. You couldn't really fit one, which angered some of the people that was interested in the truck and their actual workers, because of course a lot of people they just buy trucks and they never actually use them for actual work and that the bed would be useful for. It's just, you know, truck buyers, but those that would actually want to put this to work, they were interested in having a rack, a bed rack. And now at least we know that Tesla was thinking about the fact that you couldn't install a third-party bed rack on those. So there could be a factory install bed rack option for the Cybertruck. But another thing that was interesting about the spectacular render is that the body panel next to the bed on the upper half of the bed on the rear appears to be open or something. Is that how you see it too?
Yeah, it's definitely open. I don't know if it's supposed to stay open is this supposed to be like at a work site or driving down the road?
I don't think driving down the road because look, it looks like this part here, if you guys can see on YouTube, that looks like the body panel, like a door opened up, like this is open up like that. Does it look like that to you?
It's hard to tell, to be honest. It kind of, even in the blown up version.
Yeah, it's not clear, but it looks like that, which doesn't make much sense to me. Because the whole thing about the Tesla body was supposed to be an exoskeleton body, that the body is the frame of the car and everything. So I wouldn't think that you'd be able to open one like that. Though at the same time, this part might not be as important structurally because it's before the cabin here. So there might be more like a steel structure might be here and then here and going through the bed and not this part. But I don't know. This is above my pay grade.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at the renders on that screen with Elon and the smashed in windows, and the one on the top left with the tent on it, that seems like a better setup, like a much better render, and it's got basically all you need for a roof rack or for a ladder rack or whatever. I don't know why they didn't kind of just go out like riff off of that thing, because you can just put some ladders straight flat on top there.
Actually, I think you need to be a little bit higher. The rack seems to be a bit higher here than flush like this camper mold, because if you're not higher here, the ladder will hit the top of the cabin here, the point of the triangle.
Yeah.
So I looked into some of the forums, the truck forums after the truck was released, and that was some of the things that people that were considering that. They were all upset about, saying that it wouldn't be an actually like utilitarian truck, but I think Tesla is looking into those issues and of course Elon did say that he was planning that there would be some refinements to the design by the time it hits the market. It will look better and it will be even more useful than it already seems to be. But at the same time, like this truck, if you want it by the end of 2021, it needs a lot of things to happen. It needs a finalized design and it needs a factory to be made. We still don't know where it's going to be made. So, all right. Full self driving price increase. Elon announced that we should expect an increase to the price of the full self driving package, which currently is $7,000. We should expect the price increase by July 1st. So Elon has been talking about increasing the price gradually as they release more features. We've seen two prices increase since that price of that package went all over the place for years. But since it's stabilized since Tesla made autopilot standard and then removed some features of the autopilot, like navigate autopilot and auto lane change and all those things, and put it inside the full self driving capability package. Since then, the price has been more stable and then growing, as Musk said, with the better performance and more features inside the package. And the next one's coming, of course, the one that we know is an early access program, is the recognize and respond to traffic lights and stops. So he said that, well, this is, of course, right now in the early access program. We learned last week that it should be coming within a few weeks in the U.S. and then a few months worldwide. So July 1st would probably put that, after its release worldwide, then they increase the price because they see the value of the package having increased. So that makes sense. But yeah, if they do release that and it do works well, and of course we discussed that last week, that it's more like early auto lane change where there's permission requirements and Tesla is just trying to gather data to improve the feature. if that works well, and then the feature is delivers on what it promises, it is definitely a much closer step to full self-driving. I mean, if you look at the series of features that you're listing in the packages coming later this year, there was only the recognize and respond to traffic lights and stop sign, and the next one is automatic driving on city streets. So once you have both of those, I mean, you are what Elon has been calling feature complete. But again, this old language we need to be careful. When it's feature complete, doesn't mean that you can just enter an address and the car is going to drive there and you're not responsible for anything. It's more going to be just the car can do those things, but you're still responsible for them and you should still be ready to take control at all time. Until Tesla gathers enough data, improve the system enough that they can prove reliability of the system and be considered a full self-driving system, which based on Elon's timeline, which again, big grain of salt because he's been wrong a bunch of time on that, would be another year or two after feature complete. But I think on the positive side on that, we can all agree that we're seeing some great progress, at least. Like, I know you were more skeptical on that, like just a year or two ago. Now, can you see now the possibility of Tesla delivering a full self-driving system?
I do. Yeah. I never, for the record, I always did see them doing it. It just their time frame always seemed
That you're right. That's not fair. So I mean, do you see it now in a more reasonable time frame? Like, can you see it happening within this year? The feature complete.
So I'm finally starting to be in the zone where I'm buying a car, where I think that during the lifetime of the car that I'm about to buy, that this will happen. Okay. So right now my lease is up on my Model X at August or whatever. And at some point between now and then, I'll be getting a Model Y. Mm-hmm. And on that Model Y to replace the Model X, I'm probably going to get the full self-driving. So, I mean, that's really it, right? It's like, willing to put my money on it now at this point. So I don't think it'll happen by the end of this year, but I think the incremental steps will start happening at the end of this year, and then it'll start getting next year to be to a point where you're starting to like blur the lines between, you know, level 4 autonomy. So
yeah, I can see that happening. I think that's probably a more reasonable time frame.
Yeah. Elon's time frame on this is never really like it's been kind of divorced from reality. I don't know why it has always seemed like we know we're getting there. Like Waymo's doing it, you know. Chevy's got some version of it with their, or GM has with their Super Cruise. Like it's happening, but like just to have said all the things that Elon has said in the past, you know, like driving across country in 2017. You know, all the stuff that's been said, and you know, there's a record of it. And you know, by the end of last year, it was supposed to be full self-driving, and it's just like, let's just get there when we get there. And you know, we're getting better, but that last, you know, 5 or 10% is really difficult. So, let's not get ahead of ourselves either.
Yeah, let's always take a grain of salt with all this timeline. That's reasonable. Model 3 long-range rear-wheel drive officially launched in China as a made-in-China car. So that was the first Tesla Model 3 ever launched, long-range rear-wheel drive.
That's my car.
Yep. Well, your car was discontinued last year. Fremont factory stopped making it in favor of only dual-motor powertrains for the long-range battery pack. But now that Shanghai Gigafactory is producing cars, Tesla decided to bring back that version. We knew about it last month because of a document that Tesla submitted to the Chinese Ministry of Industry. But today, it officially appeared in Tesla's configurator, so Chinese Tesla customers can order the car now. It's been priced at 366,000 Chinese yen, which is the equivalent of about $52,000. But after incentive, it comes down to 39,000 yen for $48,000 equivalent in USD. It's a bit more expensive, of course, than it was in the US version. I think it was closer to $45,000 in the US version, right?
Originally, yeah, it was 45, but it was after the incentive, so I think it was 15 initially.
Oh, okay. But yeah, it's a lot more reasonable than they could buy in China before it was produced locally. So Elon has said before that Shanghai would only produce the base version of the Model 3 and not other version, and the more higher end version of the Model 3 would be produced from Fremont and be exported to China. But this one, technically, since it's not being produced in Fremont, does make sense. However, with the update this morning, we do see that now it says like the China-made model selection in the trim option. Before it was separated between that and the dual motor all-wheel drive. Now the dual motor all-wheel drive performance version is under the same China-made model, and it saw a price cut. Like all versions actually saw like a slim price cut. So it sounds like Tesla is also making the performance version in China now, which sort of makes Elon's previous comment false. But at the same time, those comments were made when there wasn't a corona pandemic that shut down Fremont factory. So it's pretty reasonable for Tesla to make all the different versions of the car in China now. Also, it just makes more sense long-term, too, that like Tesla wouldn't have to import cars there. Of course, that depending on what kind of cars are produced in Gigafactory Shanghai. Like if, for example, a Cybertruck, for example, might make sense to just make it at one plant and not having to make it at multiple plants. But if they're already making the Model 3 in China at that plant, might as well just make all the versions of it, right?
Yeah, so is Tesla going to export anything from China? Like, I don't think they'll export to the U.S., but, like, I could see them exporting to Japan or Australia or Indonesia or something like that out of China. You think that they'd do that, or is it China for China?
Yeah, well, they always said that it would be for the Chinese market. The Gigafactory Shanghai is there for the Chinese market, and, of course, it makes sense because the Chinese market is just so big. But right. But of course, things have changed since then, since Tesla said that, since coronavirus crisis shutting down Tesla's other production facility. Now, they only have Shanghai producing. Might as well explore that. I don't know. But of course, there's the car is using different battery cells there. It's not exactly the same car. It's pretty close, though.
Right.
But there are differences, like the charge port, of course, being the biggest one. You have the Chinese standard instead with their own protocol instead of the Tesla charge port or the Type 2 CCS in Europe. So if they do decide to do that and export car from there, they would have to be some changes, of course.
Yeah.
So it's not that easy. But I'm sure they're considering it, like it's at least in consideration now that we have the current situation, unless Tesla can reopen on May 4th as they plan and everything goes smoothly. But this is there's a lot of factors at play.
Yep.
But while the factory is shut down, we are seeing some improvement being made. We reported that last month. We had sources that told Electrek that Tesla was planning to make to use a shutdown to at least do some improvement to the production capacity in Fremont and increase the capacity, especially of Model Y production when they reopen. And this week, we actually obtained some of the construction permit application that Tesla did in the last few weeks for those improvements. It included things like improvement to the existing body and white manufacturing line for increased production capacity. That's a quote from a permit application that Tesla did a few weeks ago. That was also something part of Tesla 5K expansion. Not exactly clear what that is, but sounds like it involved 5,000 something. Mm-hmm. Might be 5,000 more cars per week. That would be nice.
Yep.
5,000 Model Y per week. That could be fun. Another permit application on March 31st, so that's a week after the factory shut down. Platform and extension and model pack line location and addition of H4 room. So more pack module production capacity. On April 3rd, so like almost 2 weeks after the factory shut down, so a new conveyance platform for the Model Y Phase 3. So Tesla is installing Model Y capacity in phases, and now they are reaching Phase 3 during that shutdown. They're also apparently recommissioning a former body paint operation that they have there. So Tesla had a new battery paint shop with the Model 3. Now it sounds like they are recommissioning the old paint shop for more capacity. That'd be nice. There's also several applications for a new general assembly line called GA4.5. So we've heard about Tesla installing a fifth assembly line last year for Model Y, presumably, but now they're talking about a 4.4 line. Of course, if you remember, the GA4 line is the one under the tent, the famous line that Tesla installed to reach that 5,000 a week production capacity for Model Y. So, and we did hear when we hear that Tesla was planning improvements last month that they are planning to have one of those tents were actually like a sprung structure, so a pretty strong structural tent to increase Model Y capacity. So I'm thinking that 4.4 general assembly line might be that. Though I wasn't able to confirm it just yet, but I think that's very likely. If we have people in the Bay Area that have drones and want to do a little flyover the Fremont factory, let me know and send us the video. We're gonna I'd be curious in the next few days and weeks to see some big tent structure happening at Fremont. I wouldn't be surprised. All right, what's next? Oh, yeah, that's you said. Model Y third row, there's some indications right now that it might be rear-facing, unlike the one on the prototype that was unveiled last year. Can you elaborate on that?
So, a few things. First of all, the prototype that came out when revealed, we didn't have great seats or standing room for that. So, we didn't see firsthand people coming out of the Model Y. But if you go back and look at the video, there were two people that came out of the back seat of the Model Y, the third row seat, but they were very short women, as far as I could tell. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the pictures of the prototype, there's very little, if no, leg room. Obviously, you move the seat up a little bit, you get a little leg room. The Model X is a little bit like this, but not quite as dramatic. We have a Model X, but it's only the 6-seat. The reason we got the 6-seat and not the 7-seat is because the back felt very claustrophobic. So I'm just saying, me personally, I would rather have... So the other option is the rear-facing seat. Sandy Monroe, who was doing the teardown, said... Or, you know, he's probably a guy in his 60s, 6 foot tall-ish. He got in the back and was able to sit pretty comfortably in the place where a rear-facing seat would be and would have plenty of room. Like, it's not the best place to be. You're facing backwards. You have a glass right in front of your face. But it's way more comfortable than the others would be. In a subsequent video, Sandy Monroe did, he basically pulled out all the bottom of the Model Y, and basically where your feet would go, there's like a hump. So I don't see how Tesla does this and create. I mean, you're looking at basically like the rear seats in a Corvette, which is not even a rear seat. Like you can't even put like a kid back there. But you know, if they did rear facing seats, they would have place to put a kid in and maybe even like a taller adult. And then, you know, just anecdotally, Doug DeMuro also did kind of the same look around in his review and was like, yeah, it's definitely going to be a rear facing seat. And, you know, with that bucket or whatever they call that thing in the back, it makes a lot of sense. Like, you know, a normal size human being can fit if they're rear facing. If it's front facing, you're not gonna be able to put like a normal size human being in there,
mm-hmm.
and certainly not for long rides or comfortably. Yeah, and so, you know, as a little bit of a background, the Model S, as most people know, has or used to have an option and will have another option in the future, according to Elon Musk. And I had a Model S with the rear-facing seats. You can see a picture of my kids in the post. They loved it back there. It was great. They were getting a little bit big. My oldest son was, I think, 9. And, you know, he was like, I don't really want to be in the back. It's a little tight with the glass right in front of his face, but you know, the Model Y is a little taller, so theoretically it could be comfortable for older kids or maybe even small adults. You know, there's a safety concern, you know, if you get rear-ended, which is, I think, accounts for like less than 10% of all accidents. You know, are the kids going to be exposed, or whoever's in the back seat? That was my concern. You know, I was always thinking about that. But, you know, Tesla reinforced the rear bumper. And as far as I know, I don't think there were any incidents. I know there were a bunch of incidents where Teslas got rear-ended and the back compartment didn't compress. So I think it's kind of safe. You know, there was that one fatality, but we don't even think that the person that died was even in the rear seats. They were in the middle, and you know, it was a truck going 80 miles per hour, which is kind of horrific. But you know, at that point, I don't think you're expecting there to be to any seat in the car would be dangerous at that point.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So obviously there was a lot of opinions in the comments on that one. My opinion is I would much rather, I don't even want a third row seat if it's forward facing in that frame, unless they, you know, change the floor panel or maybe move the middle seat up quite a bit or something like that, because it wouldn't be helpful for us. But a rear facing one would be helpful. So I'm hoping they do that.
Yeah, and to your point, like you said, that in another video too, after Cindy Monroe removed all the interior trims inside the car, it did see a few place for bolts on the side that weren't used, and he speculated that those might be used for if you to take a 7-seat configuration for the rear seat to go up and down. So that's something to consider here. Of course, like you say, it's a full size adult and he fits right now inside there. But once you have seats, like now he's just sitting straight on the trunk here. So once you have seats, he would be sitting higher up and probably wouldn't fit. But like you said, if it's like smaller adults or mainly probably children would be in there.
Yeah.
Model Y would be then like a decent car for like a family of a 5 or 6. So
yeah, and we have to keep in mind that the whole reason for the original Model S to have 7 seats was because Elon's family was 7 people. So maybe maybe he needs a Model Y for the family now.
Yeah. But he did say that he wants to drive the Cybertruck plate now, so plaid. So but that's also going to be a 16 configuration. It can be in 16 configuration, so apparently.
Yep.
All right. Next up, Elon links Tesla Model Y release in Europe to Gigafactory Berlin. So that's something we discussed on the podcast before. We speculated about, since Tesla is already, since the beginning of the year, launched a Model Y program in Gigafactory Shanghai, like they started working toward producing Model Y in Shanghai. Then they have Model Y production in Fremont, and Elon said when he launched the Gigafactory Berlin project that it would focus first on Model Y. We speculated that it might be that the Model Y will only launch in China once it's produced in China, only launch in Europe when it's produced in Europe, and then Fremont production will only be for the North American market or maybe a few other markets. So that's an interesting thought. And Elon's didn't exactly confirm it, but pretty close to it because he was asked on Twitter when does he plan to deliver the Model Y in Switzerland, and he said in about a year would come from Giga Berlin. So of course we're only talking about Switzerland here, but Switzerland normally it's a new car launch in Switzerland is linked to any other car launch in Europe in general. So I would assume that he means that the Model Y will launch in Europe once it is produced in Gigafactory Berlin, which aims to start production in July 2021. So that's a big deal, really. If Tesla achieved that, like it's gonna be so much simpler for its production capacity. Like it will stabilize logistics, stabilize deliveries, because they don't have to do this batch thing for Model Y production in Fremont like they do now for the Model 3, Model S, and Model X, where you know Tesla will take a few weeks and only make cars for a certain market and then send that to that market so that those cars sits on in transit for a while, and then during that time Tesla is not producing cars for other markets, and it results in Tesla having at the end of the quarter of finding a way to deliver cars as fast as possible. Doing that is, of course, building inventory vehicle for the North American market because it's closer to the factory. It's a problem that Tesla has been trying to solve for a while, but now it's clear that they won't be able to until they have more production facilities that alleviate some of the logistical problem. And looks like Model Y might be the first car in Tesla's lineup that will fix that. I mean, it will still be a problem with the other cars, but for the Model Y, it won't be because Tesla is going to have much shorter lead times for the Model Y in North America. And same thing in Europe because it's going to be coming out of Berlin. And same thing in Shanghai. So, and that doesn't just help the local markets. Of course, it helps, of course, Tesla in North America because then Fremont is free to only produce car for the local markets too. So that's going to be a big deal financially and for employees too, because it will flatten a little bit that crazy spike at the end of the quarter. Though it would still be to a degree, I think it will still exist until Tesla does the same for Model 3. Which is already a little bit of the case with China taking some of the load off Fremont on that front, but until it's also the case in Europe and for Model S and X, which for Model S and X is not that big of a deal, I would assume, since the volume is much lower and it's not that important for Tesla's financial nowadays. So, but a big deal for sure. Next up, Sentry Mode. So the updates that we reported on this, thanks to a friend of the site, Tesla Hacker Green, but it started pushing out this week, the update. So now it's on people's car if you have the latest software. But the Sentry Mode, if you remember, the Sentry Mode was based on All Hell Not 9000 from the movie 2001 Space Odyssey. Apparently, MGM, who owns the rights to that movie, weren't happy about that, about Tesla using the all imagery. So Tesla had to change it, and they changed it to, they didn't invent anything. They just said, you know what? That all 9000 image kind of looked a little bit like the portal turret, and the turret in the game Portal from Steam. And Steam being big into open source stuff might be less litigious if we decide to use their image. So they straight up just use the Steam image, and I cannot play that thing. All right, but it also pulses a little bit like it does with the Steam turret, and it's clearly that, because even if you look at the line here, that it's just like the turret.
Do you think MGM was asking for some cash? You think they just didn't want Tesla to use it?
No idea. I have no idea.
Because it seems like a good marketing campaign.
Yeah.
Like, why come around with the lawyers? Like, they're basically hyping your movie.
Yeah. Like, when we reported on it, we did mention it was from a Space Odyssey. Maybe a bunch of people like, yeah, I haven't seen that movie for a while. Let's just go check it out or something. I don't know. I mean, I like the turret idea. Also, like, I mean, Tourette is also the bad guy, but it's also like if this idea of your car being protected by a bunch of Tourettes, like that's kind of cool too. So it's in the same vein, but I doubt that Steam's gonna have any issue with that. Like if I know my Gabe is not gonna have an issue with it. Where we're at next? Oh, Cheetah stands. Look at that Photoshop work here.
Wow.
Look at it. Spent a good 10 minutes on that, people, so appreciate it. I don't always do it for every one of my posts, but Tesla released this new Cheetah stance for launch mode. It's a new launch mode for Model S performance. Well, Model X performance too, I guess. So Tesla is now taking advantage of the adaptive air suspension. The new one that they released when they released the Raven Model S and X. So it does similar to what Tesla is doing with the Cybertruck. If you remember when Tesla released the Cybertruck and they loaded up the ATV on it, the truck start to lean backwards, the suspension stay up in the front and went back to be able to load the ATV better. Now it's doing the contrary, basically. It's keeping the back higher and lowering the front, much like a cheetah. And that should help traction, of course. And so they did some tests this week, the people that got the car, and drag times did one test and figured it did show some improvement to the 0 to 60 miles per hour acceleration, quarter mile and eighth of a mile. But more interestingly, like nothing to do with actual stance of the car, it showed a 40 something more horsepower when using the new launch mode, which of course, launch mode, Tesla has linked launch mode to the higher power output on its car for a while. I mean, it was a big debate. Like a bunch of people even sued Tesla over it, like not allowing them to use the full power of their car unless they do the whole launch mode thing and whatnot. And then throttling that power if they use it too much. It's not new that you get the most power of your car with losing launch mode, but launch mode was already in the Model S performance and it didn't have that 46 more HP on it. So Tesla really unlocked even more power out of his Raven cars now. Bad news for Rivian. They will most likely postpone the first deliveries of the R1S and R1T trucks to early next year. That was reported by local media in Illinois. So we reported last week about Rivian, some update to their production facility that they have there, which was formerly Mitsubishi plant, and they've been doing a lot of updates for the last 2 years, the plan to get ready. And of course, Rivian is that, like, Rivian, we've seen them as this, like, the first to market with electric pickup trucks. Basically, they were supposed to be the first one this year by the end of the year. Looks like it could still be the first one if it's just pushed a few months to like early 2021, but yeah, it looks like they might slide a little bit. Not too much of a problem, really. All right, should we jump into the questions?
Yep, let's do that.
If you have questions, by the way, put them in now because we're going to go through them.
So Green Gold asked about Tesla Battery Day. We went through that at the beginning, but to recap, mid-May is hopeful and most likely not kind of a come gather event, more like a online thing. Johnny B says the live event may be very important to the marketing people. Online would be good with me. I think most people are in Johnny B's court.
Okay, can you prompt the comments up?
Oh, yeah, sorry about that.
Oh, yeah.
Philip Lavoie says, considering Elon's tweet yesterday on Plaid Cybertruck, do you think we could see a fourth version of Cybertruck with even more performance than the Tri-Motor? Did we specify on that?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much what he said. Yeah, that's pretty much. It's going to be a Tri-Motor. That's going to be like the highest version that's non-performance, basically.
And we also know that Plaid seems to require a lot of battery power as well. The Cybertruck with Tri-Motor is, what, 500 miles of range? So similar probably battery pack than the 600-plus mile range Roadster.
Mm-hmm.
200 kilowatt hour or so. A delay may also allow them to reveal more information, resulting in something more impressive. I don't know. I don't know if that's so. I think they probably
are. Well, I think it was talking about battery day here, so that might work. And what we were saying, maybe combining Plaid and battery day at the same time. Like,
oh, that's true.
Here's the Plaid Model S, and it's using our new batteries. So then,
The Cybertruck with, so Isaac says the Cybertruck with even 15 miles of solar range per day will be the ultimate doomsday prepper vehicle.
Those guys are happy right now. Those dudes, they prepper. They're like, we were right. but you know what's going to happen? Then things are going to go back to our semi-normal situation. Maybe not completely normal. And then they're just going to double down. The next one's going to be crazier.
Right.
So there's going to be a whole new novel of doomsday prepper. And yeah, but yeah, he's right. The Cybertruck. We talked about that last week.
I wonder if those guys have broken into their ready-to-eat meals yet. Like, because those things are pretty gross.
Yeah.
All right. BGR says, perhaps maybe able to share images from within the new facility in Shanghai where the batteries will be produced. I don't know if that's true.
Well, battery packs are going to be produced. Like, they're currently building a new building at the site for battery packs and module production, but I don't think they have battery cells set up yet there, or maybe they have. I think they're gonna produce them in the future, but I don't think that's the short-term plan.
Yeah. All right, Philip. Again, knowing what we know now, are you still considering a Rivian, Fred? I really like the R1T when they announced it, but now for me, it's a Cybertruck for sure. What about you, Fred?
Well, I still have my reservation on the R1T. I'm gonna keep it until we have all the information. Of course, we don't have that right now. They talked about lowering the price, which is definitely something they're going to need if they want my business over the Cybertruck, because the Cybertruck financially right now makes a lot more sense. So I'm still going to wait on the final details, but I have to say right now I'm leaning Cybertruck.
And Isaac kind of riffs on that. Does anyone think battery day will coincide with a price drop given the economic situation?
Well, I'm working on an article on that right now. There's already being announced some price drop, especially in China. But in other market, they are increasing the price, but it's mostly because of the currency situation. Like this whole economic downturn has affected some currencies in different ways. So they are, like in Norway, I think they're increasing the price. In Australia, they're definitely increasing the price because the Australian dollar has been affected, but we're gonna have more information on that soon. But the next big thing that's gonna affect Tesla's prices downward is gonna be the new Roadrunner batteries. But that won't have a major impact until Tesla can produce them in major volume, and I don't see that by the end of the year. Maybe more next year.
Yeah, and will those new batteries be used in megapacks? I think eventually, but like. Right now, I think the mega packs are probably just getting the lowest density batteries that Tesla has because, you know, you don't need to drive those things around. They're just stationary.
Yeah. I don't think that's a priority for sure.
Have you ever heard of Synergy Aircraft? I think you would love it. I think Elon would too. Went there and met the guy. I'm not familiar with them.
No, me neither.
S refresh from 2018. Yeah. Well, I mean,
but that's not, I never said it was back then in 2018. I didn't say it was an imminent Model S refresh. In 2018, I reported that it was planned at the time for 2019, for the summer 2019. It wasn't imminent there. And we just explained it earlier in the podcast why that planes changed when Tesla focused on ramping up Model 3 and then Model Y, and the Model S took a back seat.
And it's not like it was hearsay. Like,
oh, we had the design drawings
for you. Like, we didn't draw that stuff up ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, that was clearly Tesla's design team doing that stuff. So.
And it's from a source that has been right on a thousand other report that I had, not maybe not a thousand, but literally 100 report that I had over the last few years. So this all was right stuff. It's just, like I said, the timing change of it because of the focus on Model 3 and Model Y.
Yeah, so I guess that rack on the back of the Cybertruck is often called a headache rack because they haul a lot of weight up there, and they often collapse in an accident, according to Johnny B, resulting in a headache. All right.
Okay.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Da Vinci says, I wonder if the ultra wide wheels on the Cybertruck will remain. I think it's a big downside just to have the perfect flatbed without a wheel enclosure bump.
Yeah, I think that's probably not for all the versions of the trucks, especially if you don't need to do like any off-roading or anything like that. Like those wheels and those tires are insane.
Philip says, asked, do you think Cybertruck will get automatic sensor cleaning hardware to solve problems related to snow, grime, salt buildup? Also important for a full self-driving feature.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen Teslas like patenting some technologies on that front, but the implementation of it, I haven't seen any serious timeline on that. I mean, and I'm also not sure on the technology itself that they've been like the laser things that they've been doing. Like it's pretty hot there. We'll see.
Brett asks, can we get a drop down UV virus killer dome light for the Cybertruck? Okay.
That's like a vampire apocalypse type of thing. Like you just put the UV lights on and like, yeah, let's go chase some vampire.
Do you think the long range rear wheel drive version is with the ferrous battery? With lower energy density cell level, but also use the cell 2-pack technology to raise density on the pack level. This is in reference to the long range rear wheel drive Model 3 being produced in China. I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, there's been some talk about that, like Tesla signing some contract for LiFePO battery instead of the NCA and MC batteries, but it's not clear where they're being used exactly. It could be for other things, but it seems likely to me. Yeah.
Angel Sanchez asks, is it possible to get a supercharger V3 installed at someone's house or garage? If so, how much do you think it would cost?
Why would you need that?
So you would, first of all, need to upgrade your home to like...
industrial level?
Yeah, like Costco type of electric supply. I mean, you know, if you have enough money, I think anything's possible. Elon probably has a supercharger at his house.
I don't think so. I doubt it.
I mean, there's no reason to, obviously. Yeah. But if you really wanted a fast charger, there are some DC like CHAdeMO chargers, and you can get the CHAdeMO adapter. And, you know, you can charge your Tesla very fast at home if you wanted to. Mm. Although, you know, they charge pretty fast on their own level 2. All right. Sandy was wrong about rear-facing seats.
Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, you know, the prototype definitely had forward-facing, so that's definitely on the table for sure.
Yeah.
V3 in your garage isn't going to be cheap. Me in your 13 months says probably around the price of your car, doable, referring to the V3. RD says, I was rear-ended by an SUV years ago and the trunk was shashed in deep, so I'll never put passengers in trunk seats. That's fair.
But every car is different, of course. So.
Yeah. Cheetah stands for Cybertruck.
Sure. That would definitely help if you want to drag race your Cybertruck.
Yeah. Although I will say in the Cybertruck, when we did accelerate, the whole car kind of went up.
Yeah, so that will help for that for sure.
Yeah. And yeah, referring to the Cybertruck, can China Giga ship cars to Europe if U.S. factory is not fully up? Well, we don't know that China will be making cars for shipping to Europe. But I guess, theoretically, if the U.S. factory was down for a longer period of time, that could happen. But... you know, I don't think that's part of the plan at this point.
Mm-hmm. I'm
thinking Model 3s, probably. Sandy mentioned about needing some money. Do you think his company might be purchased by Tesla? He seemed to be talking to Tesla in many of his videos. I don't think so.
I was surprised by that. Like, he's selling this, like, for the Model 3 was selling his report for like $100,000. And apparently it was being bought by like analysts and automakers and stuff like that. So one of the last few videos when he's been like doing those raffles and like selling tables and things like that, I was surprised by that.
That was kind of weird. And, you know, basically the people who buy his reports are the people who are basically just cash strapped enough not to want to buy a Tesla and tear it down themselves. And
yeah.
The people to do that.
And it's the same price. It's basically the same price. It's barely more. So you save money doing it. Yeah.
Right. So maybe if he just dropped his price down a little bit on those reports, he'd be in better shape.
Oh, yeah. And he's still going to, like, I don't see why his business would be affected much more right now, because those people are still going to need those reports in the next few weeks. So unless he's like he didn't manage his cash for, he lives from month to month, but I didn't think there was a kind of business that would live month to month. But anyway, if I have a suggestion for him, I think he should start a Patreon. His YouTube channel is doing well. Like we reported on a bunch of his videos and he got like tens of thousands of hits. I'm sure you could do a Patreon and people would like that, would contribute.
Yeah.
It would raise more than selling a few tables. That's what he's doing right now.
Yeah, that seems like a weird pivot. All right. What will version 4 supercharger kilowattage be? I think we're going to probably go up to the mega charger at that point.
Yeah. I don't think that's, I mean, I think a supercharger's V3 speed is what we need right now. I don't think, I think we need to bring Model S and X to that speed. That's what Roadrunner's batteries are going to do. But Roadrunner's battery and the update that comes with it for all the other, bottlenecks. But I don't think it's a priority right now to go to the megawatt level for passenger cars.
And Philippe says, thanks for being here every week. Nice to have a bit of normal. Have a nice weekend. Thank you, Phil. Right back at you.
Appreciate it.
Da Vinci says, I'm going to give myself a mega charger.
He's upping one up, the V3 guy. Angel, was his name? Something?
Yeah. super sticker. I don't know what that is. How did Electrek change the business operations to accommodate the COVID-19 pandemic regulations? We didn't do anything.
Well, I mean,
we all work remotely.
Yeah. It did change our financials, of course, because like any other publication right now, we are badly affected by the ad rates going down and everything. But in terms of our day-to-day, it's the same, really.
Yeah, and frankly, we're all pretty lucky that...
Oh, yeah, we're on the good side of it.
So we're thankful for that and the audience. All right, so that's about it for this week.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for watching on YouTube. If you're on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up and a subscribe. It's always appreciated. If on your podcast app, you can leave us a review. That's also very helpful. And we're going to see you same place, same time next week. Be safe out there.